What is going on, my ghost squad? Welcome to Tactical Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, January 9th, 2018. We are live on YouTube and simulcasting on gunchannels.com. After the show's over, we will be taking the audio and making it into a podcast and posting that over on Podbean and on iTunes. So go check that out as well. All the links are on in the description below. Let's go and see who all is out there. I mean, you guys were starting early. You guys have had some interesting conversations, and just because that I haven't been talking in the chat room, don't think that I haven't been monitoring that damn thing. And I tell you what, there's some weird stuff going out there. But let's see who all is out there. Let me go over here and check this. We've got AWAG, Disaster, D-Temp, Patriot in the Dark, Phoenix, Rich White, RL, Travis T. Now, Travis T, I'm assuming that's the third Travis, correct? Travis T is number three, and Travis Great is number four. Is that right, guys?
That's correct.
Okay. We've got, man, there's a whole bunch of you guys out here. It's good stuff. I just lost my chat. Fantastic. I'll come back to it. On the Gun Channel side, we've got Night Strike working in here as well. Cycle Camp Pants, Raf, Rob Cromwell, Rigo, Knives, Native Gun. Let's see if I can get back over here. Yeah, we got Phoenix D-Temp, Janice Gay, Travis T, Rich White, the 1% RL, Tardot, Scott P79, Grim 90. Grim, I sent you a link if you want in, bro. Come on in. Philo's out there, D-Temp 62. And others, guys, I appreciate you guys checking in. Before we get going, I have a special shout-out, a couple of them, to some new patrons of ours. We've got Franklin D. Cox, Jr. came over this weekend, and we have a new Force Recon that joined us. I think it was yesterday, maybe. Let's see here. I think it was yesterday. But we want to send a quick, very welcome shout-out to Franklin D. Cox, Jr. And, like I said, the Force Recon is going to be Coy Sauer. Coy, what's up, man? Thank you guys so much for your support. I really do appreciate it. I'm actually going to be starting out something new for the patrons. It was actually
Garage Guns on Gun Channel.
His Garage Guns, absolutely is. He's a South Carolina guy.
Yeah.
So thanks for that. I want to say real quick that I just put out the January 2018 version or edition of the Drill of the Month. It went out about an hour ago, so I know a lot of you guys have actually already seen it, but I'm going to put the link out there on the YouTube and on the Gun Channel side. But what I'm also going to do, guys, is there is an idea from Mel the Nut, actually, and it was a great idea that we're going to start doing. I actually shot the video earlier today, and it will be coming probably out tomorrow on Patreon. And Mel actually had a great idea of doing, since I do a drill of the month for everybody, doing a separate kind of a drill of the month just for my patrons and doing all that. So I've got a special drill of the month that's going to be separate from that one that I will be putting out on Patreon tomorrow. So it'll be, I'm going to just start doing that every month as well as a Patreon only drill of the month where it's kind of a competition within the family, within the Ghost Squad itself. So I'm looking forward to that. I would be remiss. Let's see here. I'm not really. Darts looks like fun. Yeah, Travis, it's still different. You know, I wanted to start doing some stuff, especially during the winter months, that will take less rounds to complete, because I know you guys are shooting in the snow, or some of you guys are going to be indoors at a indoor range, and you might only have a specific amount of time. So we're going to start doing some smaller round count drills in the next couple of months during the winter time, but still some fun competition stuff that just some cool ideas that I've seen and found that I thought would be cool. This one is darts. So you get a dart board, you get six shots and all that. So check that link out. I hope you guys enjoy it. I want to send a quick shout out to a new viewer out there. He's a friend of my daughter's, actually, and watches some of the stuff, and he said he'd be watching tonight. So if you're out there, I want to say a special shout-out to Storm. Young man, I'm watching you, so be careful. But he's a friend of my daughter, so yeah. So
we're all watching you, Storm.
We're all
be very careful, Storm.
We got our eyes on you, boy.
And we all have guns.
He is a gun guy, a gun kid, I should say. But yeah, it's one of those things that he said he'd be watching tonight. So I'm gonna give a quick shout out to Storm. So welcome to the show, Storm. Welcome to anybody who is out there that is the first time to Tactical Tuesday or the Ghost Tactical Channel. We welcome you. We got a fun show tonight. We've got some things to talk about. From California, that is Dale Mogg, has actually changed his name to From California, but still 2A something. I can't remember exactly. It's a big, long name, but it's Dale Mogg, if you guys remember him. He changed his name. So, but I want to do real quick, guys, is run it through the room real quick and say hello to all the guys in the house. From Washington State, we've got Two Hottie himself. What's going on, Bo?
Hey, what's going on? Hope everyone's doing well. Thanks for the invite.
Glad to have you as always. Import number one from South Carolina, the outlaw himself. Ellis, how's it going? How'd your show go today?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Thanks for having me, man. Always happy to come on your show.
I appreciate it. Sorry I had to cut out of your show a little early. I had a phone call I had to take, but I appreciate you for having me earlier. Import number two. I'm not sure which one's number one, number two. I'm going to say import number two. He who strikes at night, the devil with the blue dress on, Night Strike. How you doing, buddy?
Thanks, Ghost. Thanks.
I love you,
great,
bro.
Great to be here, I think. I'm not sure with that intro, but let's move on.
All right, we'll move on. From the Sunshine State of Florida, we got Tack Daddy in the hizzy. What's going on, Tack?
It's all good, man. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Thanks for coming on. Jelzma from the great state of Texas. Jelzma had, I want you to talk a little bit. You had your first live show last Friday night. So say hello to everybody and tell me how the show went.
Hey, what's going on, you guys? And thanks, Ghost, for having me on. Hey, it went really well. Clover showed up, saved the day like usual. We talked about some predator hunting as conservation. We got into some 2A discussion, and we talked about some new firearms of 2018. So it was pretty exciting.
There you go. Well, you guys, we're going to talk a little bit about that later on the show. So that's awesome. And from Connecticut, man, this guy, if you want to talk long rifles and collectible rifles, old rifles, if you want to talk about that kind of stuff, this is your man right here. Cycle Camp, how you doing, my friend?
Well, I'm doing fine, thanks. I'm not allowed to drink tonight because Night Strikes wants me to be okay for his chat later on. So instead, I'm speedballing and doing cocaine. So,
oh, sweet. Are you going to start drinking during hit or miss, I guess?
No.
I'll give him a break and try to remain sober this time. But, yeah, it's another great day today. Bought another gun. Can't go wrong.
What'd you get?
Oh, I can't talk about it.
Okay, you got a video. You just posted a video about a little while ago.
Yeah, that was the cleanup on that other one that I got.
Yeah, okay. I haven't had a chance while I was doing show prep. But
So what's your goal for 2018?
Is in the house. What's going on? You're next. What's going on? Jeremiah M. Sorry, I just totally talked over you, and I apologize. Lockjaw, Gunpowder Beauty from California, but still Pro 2A. I got some guys just showing up, so welcome to the show, guys. Sorry, Hottie, what were you saying?
I was just asking Cycle, what is his goal for 2018? A gun a day or what? Holy.
No, I ended up only buying like 17 or 18 last year, so I figured I'd start the year off right. Actually, I was going to buy another one today, but somebody got there before I did and bought it out from under me.
Well,
right on.
Are you saying that there are friends of yours that would buy a gun from underneath somebody else? I can't believe that would happen, Foos.
Friends? We're talking relatives.
That's even worse.
But he didn't get it either. They bought it out from both of us.
Oh, my gosh. That sucks. Well, next from the great state of Texas, my home state. I wish I still lived there. Actually, I like Arkansas, but I wish I was still a Texan at heart. Clover Tack, the tactical leprechaun. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Matt. Hey, everybody.
Yep. Absolutely. Always enjoy having you guys. We have the same kind of a guys pretty much every week, but there's a reason for that. I enjoy these guys' company. They bring really good insight and all that. I'll try to add a new one here and there and all that. But these guys always seem to bring really good insight. And we just like having Ellis and Nightstrike on the show for another reason besides they're just our mascot. So we enjoy having them on.
Thanks.
Hey, Trey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bite me.
No, thanks. I'm not hungry anymore. I already had my snack for the night. All right, so before we get going, let's talk a little bit about what's happened. And I know, Ellis, you had a show talking about the Travi, and I don't want to give them a whole lot of publicity, but they had the president of the Travi, P11, out there, as I like to call him, Crackle P Senior. He was on your show, and he was kind of giving some insight about the Travi, and we're going to talk very, very briefly, because I don't want to give him a whole lot. But, Russ Carr, what's going on, guy? Explain to me what Travis was saying. That he, are we like an experiment to them, or what was he exactly saying?
Yeah, that's basically it. He, you know, they control us. They are the ones that created us. They are the reason we are here. And according to him, the earth is indeed flat.
It is. And apparently they're the ones who created the dome for us, and they are doing all the exploration on the other side of the ice wall, all sorts of good stuff, you know?
Yeah, I call bullshit on all of it.
Excuse me.
I have questions about the moon, but I don't know who the fuck Travi is, but he don't own shit.
we've got like so many damn Travises out there. We've started this movement, or they started this movement called the Travi, and they're trying to take over YouTube. And you know, Travis P11 already broke VidMe, and Midnight Range TM is always turns every
he broke VidMe. I just moved all my videos over to VidMe. What the
yeah,
hell?
Yeah, so have fun with that.
yeah, it's too late, my friend.
Right on. Midnight Range turns every damn chat into a food chat. So they've got their own little niches that they're, it's just, you know, you have to resist the Travi. It's a new hashtag we're going to go with is resist the Travi. So,
now I got to show up. Now I got to show up. You guys are talking all good. Yeah,
Peter and Jay in my damn chat now. What the hell?
Hoopajoo.
All right, from Pennsylvania, okay. The Chef Travi himself, Midnight Range TM. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
What's happening, everybody? I probably won't be able to talk because I'm cooking.
He's the second in command of the Travi.
Yeah,
he's the vice president.
He's also their two-bit fry cook.
He's a short-order cook, isn't he? Is he a fry cook or short-order?
No, he's a fry cook.
Ding, ding, fries are done.
Dray back.
All right, let's see what's going on out in the chat before we get going. Let's see here, Travinetics. Oh, God, they've already got their own terminology now.
I know, it's
what's been wrong with the Travi? Good God. Insight Freedom, what's up? Triple D says he supports a Travi. Is that just because you live in Nebraska with the president?
There's people who like the Catch Me Outside girl, too, so there you go.
No, that's true. He said he's a Travi loyalist. Ooh, I don't know about that. All right, I'm not giving them any more than publicity than we've already given them last night with Matt talked about it, Ellis with his chat today, and it all started last Thursday on Ellis's chat, so this is where the whole Travi movement started, so we're going to try to Travinetics by T. Ron Hubbard. I like that cycle. That's pretty good.
I made a video about it today, too.
Yeah, you did. You did make a video about it. It's just, you know, hey, by the way, you got mail.
I've got mail.
All right. All right, so we're going to move on from the whole Travi bullshit and move on. We're going to talk a few things tonight. We're going to talk best and worst guns for newbies slash beginners. Some people don't want to be called newbies, but we're going to call them beginners if you want to do that. Then we have the old age-old AR versus AK. Which one do you like better and why? And then if we have time, we'll run into the new guns of 2018 and what's coming out there. And that sounded like an AK-47 right there.
It was.
Yeah. So we're going to run into the 2018 new guns. There is some really cool stuff coming out. I'm really looking forward to that new Ruger PC9. That's going to be pretty sweet. But anyways,
cool.
It does look pretty cool. And there's a gun that I'm going to mention later on that I might get a little harassment for. But it is what it is. I really don't care.
Pick up a Sky. So,
No. Phoenix says it's like, hey, what's up, Big Racer? How you doing, bro? Phoenix says it's like the TV show Brain Dead, the Travar Hair brain eating bug, really. That actually sounds pretty. That right
in it sucks. Bugs? And I gotta go. I gotta cook.
Okay.
I just like to say AK-47 all the way. Baby.
There you go. I like it. All right.
Wolverines!
And we'll see you when we see you, Travis. Be good. All right, so what is it? Is that Kansas Gun Guy just reviewed the new Ruger? Yeah, it looks pretty awesome. So I'm gonna talk about that one and some of the stuff. But let's talk real quick, guys. I'm really interested in getting your guys' thoughts on the best and the worst guns, whether it's caliber or whether it's platform or whatever. And we'll start with the best for someone that is a newbie. It doesn't have to be a male or female. It's just newbie in general. Someone who is new to guns, looking to get their first gun, whether it be a handgun or a rifle or a shotgun or whatever. Let's just kind of, and I don't think I'd have to run this through the room. Let's just kind of just start spurting them out. But let's talk about some of the best guns for newbies right now. And I guess we'll start with Scotty, if you want to do it that way.
God. That's kind of
we can go. Like I said, you can go caliber. You can go
that question,
whatever you want.
Like all encompassing. God, if you want to go with a handgun and you want to have a good self defense caliber, you can't go wrong with Glock. I mean, keep it simple, stupid. There's people. There's even someone in this chat who's gonna hate that advice, and he might be next. But simple. Striker fire, no safety. I mean, it's got three safeties built into the damn thing, and I mean, you can't beat it. This all depends on, what you're looking to get out of the gun. Good rifle for a beginner? Let's say someone younger? 10/22, man. You can't go wrong.
Yep.
Man, there's so many good options. I'm sure everybody else will have.
Let me just go through this out there, guys. Let's talk caliber for a second. And like I said, I'm not going to go necessarily down a line. Just going to start spurting it out. But how does everybody feel about caliber? Should we start them with 22 or 9mm or 45 or 44 Magnum? Or, what are you guys thinking about for caliber here?
I got a situation when we're talking about 22 that I'd like to bring to light a little bit.
Yeah, go for it.
I was talking with a lady the other day, and she's just dead set on like a big 1911, frame 380, which is weird for carry. And it's that she can't handle the recoil, it's in the big frame. It just, the recoil, it mitigates the recoil better than this, that, and the other. So here's, in light of that, I got to thinking, because I think there's AWAG out in the chat. He's like, 22 long rifle for, a noob. I don't know. I don't know that putting an adult, new shooter onto 22s exclusively starting out and not having them experience, bigger calibers. I don't know. I think that might be a bad move, because I think that, she is a coach in our club and all this other stuff. And I think that possibly her perception and all on recoil has been warped from shooting so much 22.
Right.
that I'm thinking, what's wrong with your 380 that you've got? What can you can't handle the recoil of a 380 in a pocket right. pistol? You know, I don't get that. And not being ugly, but I just think that if you know, for some people, they're used to that 22 and they're used to that no, you know, just next to no recoil. And I don't know, you can warp their perceptions sometimes. I mean, I've shot so many different calibers that for me, recoil is an afterthought. I don't care. 300 Win Mag or 22. It doesn't make me no difference. I'll yank the trigger, you know?
Hey, Clover, I totally get what you're saying there, but all right, my whole thing is like when I taught my mom how to shoot, you know, she had never picked up a gun before in her life, and I wasn't going to just put a 9mm in her hands. So I started her out with the Mark III. And then in that same range session, yeah, we did work our way up. I didn't just stick her with the 22 and say, that's all you get to shoot until next range session. And, you know, a few range sessions in, we'd pick up a buddy's 357 Mag, and she falls in love with that.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was completely counterintuitive to what I would have thought, but, you know, and here my mom is 5'2", you know, 110 pounds, little woman, and she's liking this 357 Magnum. And,
yeah.
But I wouldn't have started her out there. You know what I mean?
Well, and I mean, I don't think that it's necessarily a bad idea to have them shoot a 22, but you know, I think that it's part of it to instill in them that, look, this is a 22. This is not your defensive carry, you know, caliber. You know, if you're going to do things like that, you're going to, you know, move into, you know, getting your carry license or whatever, then, you know, you're going to have to get used to recoil because that's just part of the game.
You know, there's 22 long rifles out there. Excuse me. Holy cow. They're getting some good ones. AWAG even brings up a point to say that it's good for first-time shooters, a 22 long rifle with absolutely no experience whatsoever, but if they know about what guns are and what they can do, an AR-15. I don't know. I guess if you want to put a rifle in their hand, that's something besides a bolt, excuse me, 30-30 or 22 or whatever. Golly. Yeah, I guess AR-15, because the AR-15 is not going to be overly too powerful. We're talking not someone who's 7-8 years old here. We're talking at least teenage years probably, or women that are new to the community. What do you guys think about the AR-15 being the first introduction into guns? Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
I think it's a bad idea on the AR platform just because of the recoil impulse being so close to their face. I'm more big proponent of a bolt gun than a semi-auto. And the recoil impulse is in their face. They're getting all the gas and everything directly into their face. So
if they're not used to that, that might be a little.
But there's hardly any recoil at all.
He's talking about the recoil impulse.
I'm not saying recoil night strike. Who else was going to say something?
I don't feel it. I don't know what you guys complain about.
Really?
See, this is part of the problem because everybody feels guns kind of differently.
Yeah.
And everybody is like, well, you have to do this or you have to do that. And, you know, like we jumped right to, well, you got to get them ready for a CCW and stuff. It's like, I'm not sure.
No.
My thing is caliber doesn't matter. What matters is can they manage the firearm? So like a full size 9, like a 17, a Glock 17, something like that. A gun that can get a good grip on and shoot well. That's just fine. A big heavy framed 357 Magnum where the gun sucks up a lot of that wrist twist. They're going to do well. I think it's really much more important. Caliber is not as important as them being able to handle the firearm, recoil management, and a little short, snappy-ass bug gun is just as bad as a big old 460.
Yeah. Yeah, there's everyone's obviously got really good ideas out there, and like Cycle Camp said, that everyone's different. They can handle their strength is different. They can handle different things. Their hands are bigger, and some are smaller. Some are older, some are younger. And there's no right answer to this. It's just one of those things that I like talking about, bringing new people in, and I'm talking more of the teenage, high school, and older, because I think that everyone will probably sit there and say the under 10-year-old kids needs to go to 22. For another reason is that they're maybe not strong enough to handle other stuff. But, you know, and we're talking about teenage girls versus teenage boys. You know, you don't want to throw a 44 mag or a 357 into a 16-year-old girl's hand that's never shot a gun before, because they're, chances are they're going to hurt themselves.
All about that. Usually the girls do better.
Do you really? Really? Yeah,
matter of fact, I got into trouble one time because, we had, I think it was Marine Corps League Day or something out on the range that we had, and there was, a couple of boys, and you know how boys will be boys, they can shoot anything, they're big and they're bad and they're tough and they're whatever, and so anyway, they break out, they broke out like a, I want to say it was a Ruger Blackhawk or something in a 44 Magnum. And the boys jump out there, their form sucks, their grip sucks, because they know everything, and the thing nearly flies out of their hands. The girls get out there, they go through all the proper mechanics of grip and stance, and they lock this, from shoulder to wrist, they're locked out properly and everything, and no problem. I mean, so, yeah, I wouldn't discount I wouldn't necessarily say that.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, there's not a right answer, and I can tell you that from my personal experience, seeing some late teens, early 20 girls shooting a 44 mag or 357 has been comical, but not saying they can't handle it, but for the first time they've ever kind of held a firearm, I've seen some, and it's been pretty funny. Now, obviously, the sample that I have is not the sample for everybody, and everyone's different. So, yeah.
Hey, Trey.
Sure. Yeah.
I have a slightly different opinion, kind of online with some things, but slightly.
Okay,
different.
Go for it.
I talked both of my girls with the intention of getting them ramped up to whatever level they wanted to, but I think the answer to your question, if you ask me just point blank, what's the answer to this question for you, is started with them. A 15-year-old or an 8-year-old, a Savage Cub, 22 long rifle, single shot, bolt action with a little peep scope on top. And the reason being, I think that it's very easy to teach. I think it's easier to teach the responsibility of each shot being your responsibility when you're loading and unloading it one at a time versus putting 15 rounds into a mag, shoving it up in it, racking it once, and then pulling the trigger. I think that whole teaching the four rules of safety is much easier on a bolt action. I think it's something that it's obvious that that's the easiest first step. And then you take them to the next level, which for us was the M&P 1522, similar to a Ruger 1022, where now all of a sudden you're introducing the same recoil, the same report, the same sound and feel they're used to. But now, as fast as you can pull the trigger, honey. And then they get into that, and then you can go from there, and that's just my personal opinion. At the same time, I had needed to introduce an adult woman, with a child. Her purpose was, I need to carry because I'm going to get into this private investigation career, and I need to be able to carry, show me some pistols. And then, again, we started 9mm, but we started with a 22 pistol just to show the mechanics of the pistol and go from there. And on that note, the Ruger SR22 pistol is I can't tell you how awesome I think that gun is. I put thousands of rounds through it.
I think Ruger just makes great products, so
definitely in 22. So that's my opinion. Yeah, obviously anyone can handle anything, and a lot of great input on the the fact that a heavier gun's going to have less input. So it's all those different things. But when it comes to, hey, I've never shot a gun before, the other thing that I think that is might be worth the discussion is, again, the misnomers around it. If you get a woman that's only watched CSI before and never been on a range, you take her out there and put some regular earmuffs on her and get her next to a couple of guys that are banging out an AK or an AR pistol, that's not something she's ready for in a lot of cases. And I'm not even saying just a woman. And guys, too.
Right.
So I say start as small as you can, work up from there, and obviously at whatever rate, you can move them up the ladder, go right ahead. But
sure. No, I agree. Like I said, there's so many different things, and it really depends on also the person who's instructing the first time, what they like. Some people do like the bolt action rifle. Some people like revolvers. Some people like semi-auto handguns. Some people like this and the other. So the person who's teaching for the first time is going to have a big influence upon the newbie as well, because they're going to kind of take what they like to shoot and what they're proficient with and what they're familiar. So if you are going to be taking someone to the range who's never shot a gun or very, very, very new to a to the firearm community, don't just take one gun. Take a big selection. Take a little 380 or a 9mm, a 44 mag, a 22, a bolt rifle. I mean, take if you have them, take an assortment out there so that the first time they shoot, if they seem to enjoy shooting, no matter what they start out with, take them up that progression up the ladder and see if they enjoy it. And the more they enjoy, the more they can handle it. Then you take them up to the next step if they can handle it. We got a new member into the panel. G-Webs, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for the invite.
You got it. How's everything going with you?
Going.
Yeah, we're talking, the first section here is going to be the best and worst guns. We're not talking the best guns right now. I guess we're kind of talking worst also. It's really kind of thrown into the same thing. But for newbies, I can tell you from my personal experience with my daughter, I started her out. We went to the gun shop, and she got to handle a few different guns. And she liked the little Bodyguard 380. She liked the way it felt in her hands. And so took it to the range, and luckily I have mine that she likes. So we took her to the range with my 380 Bodyguard, and she shot it and really, really enjoyed it. So we went back and got her one so she can always have a CCW pistol when she turns 21, which will be this summer. If she likes it, then great. But then you move her on to the 9mm, and then you move her, and now she shot, ARs. She shot my AR. She shot, I think, my AKs. And she's able to handle it. And the first time she shoots those bigger platforms, obviously it's the unknown, is this going to hurt? Is this, how's this going to feel and all that? But I think once they understand the proper mechanics, how to set your base, and people forget the base of your legs and how you set your feet up and all that is extremely important to shooting as anything, just as much as the grip, because if you don't have support, you're going to get thrown off balance and all that. But once they understand all that action, my daughter is 20 years old. She's like 5'1", 110 pounds. So she's a small thing, and she can handle ARs and AKs, no problem. Like I said, the first time she shot them, they were kind of new to her and maybe kind of scared her a little bit because she didn't know what to expect. But then she realized, oh, that's not as bad as I thought. These kids play the video games. They just assume that it's going to be a certain way. And, some of these games, it's not. Yeah, and these games try to simulate recoil now and all that, which I think is cool, but it's not the real thing. So,
hey, Ghost.
Yeah, go for it.
I have one quick thing to add about when you were talking about when you're taking them to the range for the first time.
Yeah.
I know most ranges around here, if you want, you can rent it. You can rent that whole case of guns.
Yeah.
It's $40, and you can walk away with it. Yes, you have to buy the ammo, so you got to be ready to drop a little dough. But it's $40 to rent that whole case. So you can start them off with that 22 and see how they handle it. If they handle it well and you're confident in them and they want to step it up, or you want them to step it up, regardless on your teaching style, do not be opposed to doing that. And then put a different gun in their hand of each caliber.
Absolutely. And, the funny thing is, one of these, I don't call them kids, because these teenagers or, young adults that you're trying to bring into the community or whatever, they automatically think going to the range, they're thinking, fully automatic machine guns and I want to shoot the AR, the AK, and it's like, no, we're not going to start. At least I don't. So like I said, if you want to start them out there, you can. But, there's a lot of those kids that just assume that that's what shooting is, but they have no idea what they're doing. So I think that, like you said, I think the biggest thing is if they're willing to go out there for a couple hours and learn and get their feel about it and all that, move them up incrementally with the calibers and different rifles versus handguns. Expose them to as many as they can handle and as many as they want to shoot. Now, if they get tired of shooting, don't force them to be there, because the last thing you want to do is have them, one, not want to be there, because two, they'll probably be a little unsafe and lazy. If they're ready to go, they're ready to go. But expose them to as many as you can and all that. I'm going to go look through this. Hey, Bullseye, I see your thing. I would send you a link, but I believe the panel, yeah, we've got a full house. I'll get you on next week, bro. If you want to do that, I have no problem get you on next week. Send me an email, and we'll take care of it, make sure you're in. Let's see here.
I got to jump in five, Trey, so keep him on standby.
All right, sounds good. Travis T out there, he's rather shoot a Mosin for 100 rounds than an LCP for 100 rounds.
Damn, sorry about that.
Oh, you're fine. I didn't hear anything. Kalishnikov says, I say a Beretta would be a good starter gun, or an AK Remington 870, or a break of action of some sort. Let's see here. Rich White said the military has taught many a soldier, marine, and airman to shoot with an AR platform rifle. That is true.
He's obviously never seen the Air Force.
Small caliber rifle, almost no recoil. It looks awesome. So if you're giving that to a kid, it's got an adjustable length of pull, so you can give an AR to a kid, and as long as it's a carbine, and they're going to be able to handle it no problem. The weight isn't so bad. Then they can go to school tomorrow and be like, hey, I shot an M16 all weekend.
Yeah. Well, and here's another thing is if you want to introduce them to a car.
Are kids allowed to go to school and say that anymore?
No, they're not.
I mean, probably not.
Yeah, probably not a good idea.
I think it's a great idea.
School, they'd freak out.
If you go to school and say, hey, I got to shoot this gun, you're not saying I'm coming to school to shoot this gun. You're saying my dad took me out and I got to shoot an M16 this weekend.
These days it doesn't matter. But back in the day, it's what somebody else thinks they hear.
It'd have been like back in the day saying, my dad let me drink all weekend. Like, they react.
My dad bought the beer for me. You know? Yeah, I get it. I wish it wasn't so stupid these days.
Yeah, no, it's true. It depends. If they came to me and said something, I would be like, yeah, what'd you do? But it wouldn't be a loud conversation.
Right, exactly. They speaking of teachers and all that, Grim snuck in. Grim, what's going on, my man?
Not much. Just came to jump in a minute. You know, I did want to throw one thing in. I only caught part of what everyone was saying is,
yeah.
I know the newbies I've taken, I kind of try and mentally prepare them for, like, you know, depending on what guns I have on me at the time, you know, but kind of mentally prepare them. Like, I know I heard some in the panel and, you know, you get those smaller. I don't think it's so much the caliber as the type of gun. I don't know. Because, you know, if you got an LCP, it's going to be a little more snappier versus something a little larger. So I always try and get them prepared that, hey, it's going to do this. And then if it is something like that, I usually do the one round in the chamber, have them put the magazine in, rack it, just to get them kind of hooked in. I mean, but that's just something I've done, like when I've taken my wife's friend, you know, I started her off on all I had on me because it was a last minute thing was my LC9S, which isn't that big, but she loved it. And she ate 200 of my rounds up. You know, there were 200 rounds of ammo, but, you know, they did a good job at, you know, at a few feet with a small target. It was only a 6-inch target, and they were hitting the target in the square itself at, I think, like 17, 18 feet, which isn't bad. Yeah, I mean, kind of judged. My brother was a little more skittish, and we used a Glock 26 for him.
How old was he when he first started shooting?
Oh, my God. He's like 38? He's older. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just
funny, isn't it? It's funny how that happens sometimes. The young kids are like, heck yeah, let's go do this. And the grown-ups are like, well, I don't know. It happens a lot. Well, it happens a lot.
It's probably all those years and pull my finger, you know.
No, that's true. That's true. That's a different pull this time.
Yeah.
Well, any time you can have a full-size frame that still fits somebody's hands, that's probably going to be the best way to go for a semi-auto or a revolver.
Yeah, for sure. The pants over the gun channel side was saying start out with 9mm, and once they kind of get used to that, then step them up. I'm a big believer that, you know, a 9mm round's probably a great round because you're going to get the recoil, you're going to get enough power for them to feel it. It's not going to overpower most people, but it's going to be enough where they learn the respect of that firearm very, very quickly. So I'm a big proponent of starting out with something in a 9mm handgun. You know, 380 if maybe they're a little bit smaller, but I think the handgun, it teaches really good mechanics as well, with talking about grip and grip pressure and stance and all of that. You know, like I said, everyone's got their own way, but you know, if you can get them into a 9mm to start out, I think that's a really good, and then progress from there. You know, if they want to shoot a rifle, then yeah, you start maybe to 22, maybe go into something else, but you know, everyone's gonna be different, but I do think that a 9mm 38 special, you know, that type of round is a really, really good round to start off people. Like I said, they do get the recoil effect. They learn to appreciate and to respect the firearm and the ammunition. So I like that a lot.
You know, another thing to keep in mind too is rests and bags and things like that when you're talking about the new shooters. I mean, from a, you know, from a rested position, I mean, being a rifle or a pistol, either one, that can be beneficial. It's a little more relaxing. It's giving them a little more support. Not have to worry about their shoulders being sore, trying to hold something up. So.
Absolutely. And you're teaching breathing at that point, even though they're not initially taking the right grip with both hands on the rifle and all that. You can still work breathing techniques and all that, even though they are using a rest or a bag or whatever they're using. There's still ways that they can learn a steady, smooth trigger pull, this, that, and the other. There's still ways, even though they're not able to actually hold the rifle themselves. That's a really good thought right there.
I think a gun like a 357, load it with 38s and let them start with that. And then once they've learned how to grip the gun and feel comfortable with it, then throw the big bad boys in there. Same thing with a 44. You could put a 44 special in a 44 Magnum. You got a nice heavy frame gun, nice soft shooting bullet, and you know, let them learn to grip the gun. Because the worst thing you can do is overgun somebody, and then and now they've developed a flinch, and geez, it's going to take forever to get that out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, answering Russ up there. He said his 13-year-old girl will shoot 300 rounds. A 45 ACP every time we go to the range. The girl's shooting me out of house and home.
There you go. All right. 45 ACP is a good one, too.
Yeah, 45. If they can handle it, if you think that their wrist is, you know, 45 is actually, to a lot of people, easier to shoot than a lot of other calibers. Hello. My daughter, yes, I did. Sorry, my daughter sent me a text, but yeah, 45 ACP is, I think people maybe kind of get scared because they hear 45 and the 45 ACP is not a bad round, maybe for, a younger adult that maybe have some muscle structure that can handle a little bit. But yeah, the 45 is a good one. You know, I know a lot of people that's first gun they ever shot was a 1911. And they love guns to this day. So obviously it was not a terrible experience for them. So. Yeah, 45 is not bad at all. Let's see here. Kyle Dover says if 380, maybe a slightly larger one like the Bursa Thunder, zero recoil. That must be someone from upstairs or up there in the chat.
I was actually just going to mention that one, Trey, the Bursa Thunder 380s.
Yeah.
Even if you have big hands or small hands, they tend to fit people's hands pretty well, and they're heavier than most of the other little 380s, their size.
Do you find that people would like the extra weight or no?
It when people first getting started, because I bought Sig Mosquitoes and Bursa Thunder 380s to do my firearms instructing for people that were just starting out. And yep. People that tended to be recoil shy, I moved them to the 22. But as far as the 380, I mean, it was... people adjusted to it really quick, and from there, they I mean, a lot of them had moved up to like 357 J frames.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and here's another thing is the 357 round. That's not a bad one if like I said, you know, what I'm saying is don't be afraid to jump into a higher caliber if you think they can handle it, because I think that maybe if you start them off, and I'm not saying cross that line of what's too strong for them right away or might what scare them and all that, but if they're physically able to handle it and mentally able to handle the higher caliber, maybe you throw in that higher caliber at the beginning is not a bad idea, because that might get there and say, "Woo, oh, I like that. I like that power." It really depends on their personality, but don't be afraid to throw a higher caliber round in there if you think they can handle it, they might like it, because the last thing we want to do is someone get bored right away and say, that wasn't fun. I don't want to shoot anymore. You know, if they can handle it, go ahead and throw that higher caliber in there and see if they can handle it. And if you have to work your way back a little bit and say, okay, well, maybe that was a little bit too strong for you. Let's move back to this 38 or this 9mm or whatever. You know, we can do that. But, you know, like I said, don't be afraid to throw that higher caliber in there if you think they can handle it, because it's going to be more fun for them. They see it on TV and the movies. They see Dirty Harry out there shooting, and they see all these rifles and pistols that are on the movies, so they're probably playing video games with MP5s and all that, or whatever they're playing with these days on there. But, you know, they kind of have an idea of what they look like, but until they fire it, let them go and see what they see.
No, I don't have a problem with that approach, but my whole thing on that is if you're going to do that, make sure you're running that 357 in a gun that handles the recoil well, that you're right. Not putting a scanty frame, you know, 38 or 357 in their hand or something.
This is the lightest 357 ever made. Give it a try for your first shot. That's the thing, right? It's just a comfortable big gun that's not going to scare them or feel like it's going to fall out of their hands or something.
Exactly. Manageable is the key.
Everybody's different. So if it's a little hands, little gun, whatever, bigger person, I would think with an adult, though, or not an adult, but an older kid, taking them and like, okay, let's go shooting. Here's the rules. You know, like, okay, they're going to roll their eyes and be like, this is going to be boring.
Yeah. When I took my sister out, she has mid-sized hands, but she don't have a lot of grip strength. And so, like, small revolvers with small grips, she hated them. And I had this old Rossi with a Pacmire, a big old rubber Pacmire on there, and she loved that thing.
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
Now, what about direct blowback versus, like, a semi-locked breech or something like that?
Well, now you're starting to talk about a preference. And once again, you have to understand who's shooting, too, though. You know, you don't want to scare somebody. And we were talking about the AR platform also is there's going to be different ways that people are going to be able to handle certain guns. They might not expect certain things. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I really don't think it's going to really matter a whole lot if you think they can handle it. I don't know. I don't have any opinion on that whatsoever as far as what they should or shouldn't do. I think they should always go with what you think they can handle with anything they might like. Because, once again, the last thing we want to do is turn them off of shooting. You know what I'm saying? What are your thoughts about that since you brought it up?
My sister-in-law, she's just got out of college doing student teaching. She's been living with us, and I've been trying to slowly talk her into going out shooting with me for almost a year. Yeah. And we went out one time and put a single 22 mini mag CCI and a Mosquito, a single, did the whole thing, you know, racked it, and she put one down range, and I mean, it was almost a mental breakdown at that point. She just, the impulse and the flash and the noise was just way too much for her. So,
what was the gun?
In my opinion, it was a Sig Mosquito. If I would have probably used something that was a locked breech or like maybe a bolt action, I think I would have been better off in that situation.
So even with the little gun, just the stuff moving in her hand freaked her out?
Yeah, the flash and the noise and all that, because a direct blowback gun is going to be a louder...
It'll be louder.
More violent of a recoil impulse than anything.
The noise or more the movement?
I think it was more the noise.
Okay.
So suppressors.
Yeah, suppressors. It does have a threaded barrel on it, so.
And what about if they had suppressors at indoor ranges, and for like another $5, you just rent a can, take it out, and screw it on the front of your gun?
It's a good idea, G.
Well, I mean,
you should do that.
I've never seen a range do that. Has anyone else seen that?
No, not unless you're talking like a rental gun, where you rent the gun. I've seen the
right, setup. Right. I'm not saying for your own personal, but I mean, I've never seen anyone rent.
No, I mean, you can rent a. I've seen them like you can rent a gun with a Trigicon on it and a suppressor and like shoot a decked out pistol, but like you're renting that package. It's not like you can take the can off, put it on.
Yeah, I've never. I mean, you know, most of the ranges I go to aren't gun shops attached. They're just ranges, and my home range doesn't even have anyone working there. It's just you have a combination lock. You go in there, you do your thing, and all that. I've never seen a range that actually. I shouldn't say that. I've been to a bunch of ranges, but I've never seen a range that actually would rent out suppressors. I think that's a pretty cool concept. That'd be interesting. All right, let's see here. AR Master, what's that?
I think a range could contact a can company and just get a whole bunch of them and then get some kind of contract for, you know, fixing them because they're going to get broke. And then that would be like that, what do you call that, like that getting people into buying, you know. It'd be like an advertising.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'd be great advertising, and especially if they can – get people interested. Like, everyone's played video games or whatever, and they've seen movies. And here's the thing about suppressors is what they depict in TV shows and the movies, we all know that's just absolute bullshit about what a suppressor does. You know, you're not going to turn in a 45 ACP into this silent, you know, whisper silent gun. But I think once people...
Subsonic. 45 suppress pretty good.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is people think that by watching movies that it's just going to be this, you know, and I think once they get a gun in their hands with a suppressor on it and they realize that, you know, you probably still want, depending on what you're shooting, you still want to probably wear some ear pro because it's not exactly silent. And that's what I don't like about the word silencer, because it doesn't make them silent. It's a suppressor. It suppresses the volume, but it doesn't make them silent. But I think, like you said, if you get someone to shooting into a suppressor, and they kind of understand that what they're seeing on TV and the movies isn't exactly accurate, that's a pretty cool thing also, you know?
If you want to sell suppressors, all you got to do is get Flowmaster to start making them, and all the rednecks down here in Texas will throw in on their gun.
Glass packs and all that, making suppressors, yeah. Now, I will say that... Now, you have, what do you have suppressed? You have a 300 blackout suppressed. Is that correct, Clover? Is that what you have? Is it suppressed?
Well, I've got several that are suppressed. But
well, yeah. You did a pop with it not too long ago, maybe a couple months ago. Is that the 300 blackout or is that the SOCOM?
That was the SOCOM, too. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, the Halloween was with the very first launch air pop was the one of my SBRs, 300 blackout SBRs with the can, and then the Halloween one was my 458 SOCOM.
Now you're running the 300 blackout. You're running that subsonic plus the suppressor, correct?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's
probably
there are a couple of ways of thinking with suppressors. There are the people that just want to cut down the muzzle blast so that, you know, they shoot subsonic and it's hearing safe. And then there's the snobs like me that have to have it movie quiet. I want like pellet rifle quiet. If it's pointless with a suppressor to me, if it's not uber quiet. So, yeah. So I shoot subsonic.
Oh, I want to say a quick shout out to Jared. Jared's just got in his car at night school. Night school's going to make him miss it. But hey, man, get to school. That's much more important than this crap. You can watch this whenever you want. Yeah, school's much more important than what we're talking about. So do your thing and catch it on the replay. let's see here. Yeah, and like I said, and I think having a range that will rent the cans out, I think that's a cool concept. Like I said, I just personally have never seen a range that will do that, but that for selling them, for marketing, for teaching people what they are and what they aren't, I think that's a great idea. I would love to see ranges, more ranges do that. Don't let the drive-by suck you in. I'm going to show that. I don't care.
I know. The reason they don't, probably a lot of ranges don't, is probably because of liability. It's insurance purposes, probably.
Well, I know dealers that do demo days pretty regular.
Yeah.
As far as suppressors go. So, having a range that would rent them out or something, that's not that far-fetched. There probably are some that do that. But you're talking about a pretty hefty investment too. You know, you're talking about as expensive an investment as the firearms that you've got. And then two, you've got to realize that those firearms that you have that you're renting, you know, they have to have threaded barrels. And, you know, you start getting into lots of additional cost, I guess, when you do that. Yeah. So
$100
I understand. I mean, but it's additional cost. But you get into additional cleaning too. You know, that's a suppressor.
Yeah, you're the only range in town that does them. You're going to get some additional shooters too.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, for sure. If you're the only game in town, you know, you start marketing suppressors and all that, or silencers, which, you know, I hate that term, but you start marketing, you have silencers for rent. I would be willing to bet that you're going to, and you're the only game in town, I would be willing to bet that your range is going to get a lot more use just for people, you know, seeing John Wick and all these movies, and they want to use the silencers and see what that's really like. And but I can understand why, like Knife Fight says, I don't know, is it liability? I mean, is that an issue? Because I wouldn't think that it's a liability.
Guns. How much more dangerous can shooting guns be? You got insurance. It's going to cost money.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. Do insurance companies look at NFA items in a range more risky?
How many machine gun ranges are in Vegas or now in Florida?
Right. And that was the thing I was thinking of is there's a whole market down here for people coming in internationally, traveling to Miami. And they all go to a machine gun Miami so they can shoot machine guns.
Right.
And I think they do some suppressed stuff down there. I could be wrong. But, yeah, you go in there and it's a menu and here's your, you know, $100 up to, shit, $500. And you want to shoot a SCAR, you want to shoot a belt fed, you want whatever you want, you can make it happen. So
you can make it happen. You just got to pay money.
Yeah, the suppressor thing doesn't sound too far off. The cleaning part, I mean, maintenance with guns, places like that, I'm sure is just part of the deal. But insurance, I don't know that an insurance company says full auto and class 3 stuff is more risky in terms of having a range where you rent them out than range that rents out everything else. I don't know.
That's kind of what I was thinking is, I mean, if you're already a gun range and you specialize in firearms and all that, I can see maybe where a normal range versus a machine gun range, a full auto machine gun range, that might be different in the insurance eyes. But just having suppressors, I can't imagine that that's any more bringing any more liability than just a regular gun. Because all it is, I mean, you know,
it's like marijuana being classified the same as cocaine. Suppressors are classified the same as full auto.
Yeah.
You're class 3.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just talking about the liability side of it. I don't understand if why a suppressor would be a liability unless you're just talking, you know, NFA stuff, you know.
All I'm going to say is if there's an investor out there listening and interested, the Beaumont area has no indoor range whatsoever. We're talking 250,000 people in the greater Beaumont area.
I feel like if somebody does take action on this, then everybody in the chat should be able to shoot for free for life.
I agree.
100%. Yep.
Yeah.
I all agree with that.
We get lifetime memberships forever.
I do 10%.
I'll forego my 10%. I just want
free.
Yeah. I'll
forego my 10% stake in the business.
Hell yeah. You
want I'll do 50% off for anybody that signs up to Gun Channels.
You better ask G about that first before you start throwing that out there. All right, guys. Well, hell, it's already been an hour. We haven't even gotten to the other two things. Nice Drake, are you going to start your show here pretty soon, or what's the deal?
Well, I'm waiting for you to finish.
There's nothing
else. All right. Well, do you want us to finish now, or do you want us to keep going?
I mean, it's up to you. I mean, you know, it's your show.
Well, I don't want to step on your toes, but I mean, you haven't left yet, so I don't know.
I haven't left yet because I'm, you know, I'm pretty much dragging my feet. I'll admit to that, but you know,
he's trying to avoid having a hit or miss tonight, is what he's saying.
No, not avoid, but maybe sidestep.
Hey, I think he's saying keep going, Ghost. I think that's what he's saying.
We'll keep going, then. Screw it. You know, I've got the blessing from the host, so we'll do this. I'm gonna cancel the AR versus AK thing because that could go down a whole different rabbit hole for a whole other hour. So what I will talk about real quick is the new guns of 2018. Are there anything out there that you have seen or heard about that really interests you? And I guess you guys, Gelsma, you guys talked a little bit about there. I was gone Friday night. I missed it, but you know, for the room and out there in the chat room, is there anything that's coming out in 2018 that you're looking forward to seeing? They've got some pretty cool stuff coming out right now.
You've already mentioned one that I'm interested in, and that's the Ruger.
Yeah, the PC-9.
Yep. The PC-9.
Yeah. I really want to see if SHOT Show, if they surprise us and if they have a 10mm version, although I'll still probably be interested in the 9 version. Just because that's what I have is a bunch of 9mm mags, but that would be an awesome platform in 10mm.
I swear that is the monkey in all of us every time there's a new 9mm before we even see it.
When's a 10mm coming?
10. 10.
Yeah.
Come on, 10.
A little bigger.
And I'm sure there will be, but I don't know if the 10mm carbine is the first thing you want to throw out there. I think they would sell, but I understand why they're going with 9mm first is because that's a very popular round that can share ammo with a lot of people's guns they already have. So, but I'd be willing to bet there's a 10mm coming down the line. Bond Arms has a bullpup, 3.3-inch barrel. Have you guys seen this one? It's pretty interesting looking. Little bullpup.
We saw that at Big 3.
You mean Boberg's pistol?
I can't hear you. What'd you say, G?
The Boberg pistol?
He says Bond Arms Bullpup 9. It's just a 9mm ultra compact 9mm bullpup.
Yeah, they bought the Boberg a while back, and it's theirs.
Okay. So
I don't know if they did something new, but it's
you're right.
It's interesting looking. For if you like bullpups.
Did anyone see the new one? Did you guys see the new one today? For the first time I saw it today, and I'm a fanboy of Century, they're dropping a 9mm in the AK action. Have you seen that? That takes
really?
Five mags?
No.
Just got announced today. I saw pictures.
That's something that I definitely want to look into. I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to start this. I'm more of an AK platform than I am an AR platform. I really do enjoy the AK platform. So that'd be kind of cool to see. Who's doing that? Century?
Century. You'll see it.
Inland's putting out a new 30 cal. That looks pretty damn good.
You guys pumped about the new SIG 365?
I mean, I like SIG. They're good guns. I don't get real excited about SIG. Yeah. I mean, it seems to me just like another 9mm pistol. I mean, I don't know. Anything special to it. I would say that if I was going to, the Ruger Security 9's coming out. That's going to be pretty cool. 15 round capacity. I'm assuming that's kind of their version of the Glock 19 type thing. So, but I like Ruger. So, I'm going to throw one out there. And I know you guys are going to chastise me for it. I'm going to go ahead and mention a company that most people just cringe when I say the name.
I know what you're
going to
say.
High Point.
No, not High Point.
Springfield Armory.
Wow.
Springfield
Remington.
Armory. Ah. Say it. Springfield Armory's got M1A and 6.5 Creedmoor.
Yeah.
Tell me that thing's not going to be pretty cool.
I knew it.
Sacrilegious.
I mean.
Yes.
Tell me it's not going to be cool. You cannot buy it. You can boycott the company, but tell me that wouldn't be cool.
No comment.
No comment.
I don't boycott American gun companies.
It's about as cool as a fat girl on a moped.
That means you've never had a moped.
Are into fat girls on mopeds.
That means you've never shot 6.5 before.
Yeah.
What do I need 6.5 when I got a 25-06?
If you've never shot 6.5, you don't know. It's just that simple.
Like I said, I know you, and I know for good reason, but I saw that, and I said, that could be pretty cool. That could be really cool. Not saying I'm going to go buy one, but if I happen to get a chance to shoot one, I'm not going to say no.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
If I buy one used a year from now, and Springfield's not getting my money, hell yeah, I'll do that, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I got you, Tech Daddy.
I wasn't No, it's the hotness right now, and there's a reason for it. And I've talked to some guys that, again, do the Sniper Championships and the Mammoth and all that shit. And there's a reason 6.5 is what it is. It's incredible what it does in terms.
It's almost cool as the 4570 AR that's going to be coming out from Phoenix.
What'd you just say?
Yeah, for $5,000.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a 4570 AR platform that's coming out from Phoenix Weaponry.
Actually, it's not even a 4570. It's a modified 4570. So that's the last thing I heard.
Well, that's dumb.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because they were talking about it last night, and I think the rim on the 4570 has to be shaved down or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
to fit a 300 bolt face or a 308 bolt face or something.
Yeah, so it's almost a Wildcat, you know.
What about the AR with the shockwave grip? What's the name of that?
The Raider.
Raider, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
The shockwave is an interesting gun in itself, so.
Are they going to put out a semi-auto version?
Well, Remington's making a box feed with their 14-inch, the TAC 14, that's going to be a box fed.
I just want to say, Russ Carr, I'm not the smartest tool in the shed. I don't get the four emoji icon. I don't know how to put those together and understand what that's a word or words. But he basically says the High Point 10 is cooler than anything Springfield did. I love the High Point carbines. Everyone knows that. And I know people make fun of me for that. I don't give a shit. I like High Point stuff for what they are, especially the carbines. I'm not saying that I am going to sit there and give Springfield any money. What I'm saying is there are some Springfield Armory stuff that's pretty good. Now, if I can get them used where Springfield doesn't get my money, what's wrong with that? No, Springfield does have some good stuff. They're obviously they've got some different political views, some different ethical views as to how Illinois should run their stuff for saving them money. I don't agree with supporting them, but I don't mind shooting their stuff. Some of their stuff's pretty good, actually. I know I might get boycotted from some of you guys, but that's the truth.
Now, isn't Springfield also coming out with pistol, I guess, designed to compete with like the P-238s?
I haven't heard about that. I can probably find out though.
Yeah, Clover, I'm trying to find it right now.
Yeah, I don't see.
Taurus releases a mil-spec AR. T4SA. Anyone seen that yet?
No.
Well, if it's an AR, I hope it's in mil-spec. Otherwise, it's not an AR.
Yeah. Taurus put out an $800 AR, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Taurus T4SA. Yep. I'm looking for anything else from Springfield. I haven't seen anything else from Springfield.
I don't know if anyone's mentioned Geisley. There's a lot of new stuff coming from Geisley.
Yeah.
Hey, Ghost, look up the Springfield 911 in 380.
Yes, the 911.
Springfield 9. Oh, you know what? I have seen something about that. Yep. I have seen something about that. Yeah. Yes, I have seen. I've heard about that. I've read something about it. But I did. When you said it was, yeah. I have heard about the 911. And I'm sorry, what were you saying, Tech, about the Geisley?
I don't know. Don't know if it would be right. Excuse me. For shot. But they have a lot of new stuff coming out.
What are we talking, pistols, or what are we talking about?
They make great triggers, and they make great rails, and there's rumors that they're going to end up making great guns.
Nice. Probably spendy, but nice.
They probably come out of an AR platform, I'm assuming, since they have the rail systems and all that already in place.
I can't deny or acknowledge that statement.
I understand.
That sounds about right.
Hopefully. Hopefully that doesn't go the way like Timney did when Timney tried to make their own Ruger 1022 variant.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that. AWAC says, look up the Tavor 7. That is a bad mamma jamma right there. Yes, I have seen that, AWAC.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
The Tavor 7 is 7.62 by 51, maybe? And I might be mistaken on that. I think it is 7.62 by 51 bullpup.
So 7.62 by 51, is that?
I want to say 51. I might be wrong about
that. Is that equivalent to 308?
Well, it's actually going to be a 308 chambered, not NATO.
All right. So
it is. Okay.
They're building that to compete with the Desert Tech. What is it? MDR?
The Desert Tech never been released. What? Desert Tech shot show 4 years ago, 3 years ago, still waiting. What?
It's never been released, really.
I don't know if it has ever, but I
did. Desert Tech ever release their SRS?
I've seen it online for like $2,700 or whatever.
Oh, all right. Shot, maybe it did come out.
I shot it at.
It was delayed forever.
Yeah, I shot it at TriggerCon. That's a slick freaking bullpup, man.
Well, and that's their demo gun, correct?
Yeah. So I can't speak if they're hitting shells yet. But I can't imagine that they're not. But
I still haven't seen any reviews. Have you?
No, I mean, and you're more
in anyone's hand.
No, and you're more in the industry than I am. So,
do you think it'll ever happen, or are they just going to stay shelled it?
No, I'm not convinced that I'm 100% correct. I think they might have released something. I just know that the stuff that they came up with 2 and 3 years ago, they had all these models. Here's the big one, the medium size, the little guy. And they were awesome looking, and no one ever could get them.
Yeah.
I think that's Tech Daddy. That's the SRS.
Let me look it up real quick.
That was their bolt action bullpup, I think, is what you're talking about.
Travis B said the Desert Tech 6.5 Creedmoor is selling for $4,600 on GunBroker. No joke.
Creedmoor. 6.5. I'm telling you, that's the 300 blackout of 2018. 6.5 Creedmoor.
You think so?
100%.
Yes, the MDR that I'm talking about. Let's see if I can find that on.
MDR. That's the one I'm talking about as well.
All right, so let's see if we can find this bad mamma jamma on GunBroker.
There's a video.
Listen to call. There's a guy talking about the 19, the Glock 19X, which is obviously the
dude,
the 17 frame and a 19 slide.
All right, delayed long enough. I'm gonna go start up Hit or Miss.
All right, well, I see you saying going live. We'll get it cut out. How long do you think you're gonna have?
I'm probably gonna do it in about 5-10 minutes.
All right, well, I'll be done in the next 5 or 10 minutes, and we'll see you over there, bub.
All right.
Well, haven't guys been taking Dremels to their Glocks and turning them into stupid looking stuff like the 19X for years?
Dude, yeah, the problem is going to be a produced gun from Glock. That's the thing. It's Glock.
I just reposted a meme today about somebody said that the 19X was almost perfect, and then it showed a chunk of the last I don't know, the
bottom inch and a half.
The bottom, no, yeah, yeah, inch and a half, maybe 3/4 of an inch, cut off with the Dremel and say now it's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if you like the 17 grip, then get yourself a 17. You know, if you like the 19, get a 19. I thought the concept was kind of cool when I first heard about it. I said, oh, okay, that's gonna be, it'll be interesting. It's not. It's just another gun for them to sell. And
or you could pay $200 more and get half of each.
There you go. Let's see here. I'm not sure. Are they banning him or they're deleting some messages of Travis P11? They're resisting the Travi out there. They're resisting. Joke banned Travis P for about 5 seconds. Oh, okay. I got you. They're saying, who was that? C4 Defense said it would have been better if they had the 19 frame, the 17 slide. Probably better than what they have now. I don't know.
Wait.
The 17 get the 17. The 19 get the 19. Is it basically? Isn't that basically? If you do that, isn't that the Glock 34? Isn't that basically what it is?
No, huh? 34 is a longer barrel than a 17, so that you can shoot competition with it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that it's a shorter grip. So I mean, the 34 is basically. It might be the dimensions might not be exactly the same, but that's basically a 19 frame and a 17 slide, is it not?
No, it's a 34 slide and a 17 frame. It's a full size Glock frame. A full size Glock frame and a compact and a subcompact aren't the same up top. So you can't just put a 19 frame on a 17, right? So that's what a 17X is it's a different frame. So the 34 is a longer frame.
The 19X is a 17 frame and a 19 slide.
Yeah, and a 34 is a longer slide than a 17. So it's the other way. Still a 17 frame, but now it's a longer slide than normal.
Don't forget the lanyard. Don't forget the lanyard hold.
Yeah.
This is the whole reason I buy 1911s.
Wow. So.
It's a lot less numbers to remember.
Oh, really? There's only one 1911?
Yeah, 1911. It's the only numbers you got to remember.
I'll be saying carbine because it's a generic term for anything that's metal that shoots 1945 at this point.
They make 1911s in 9mm, don't they?
Yeah, they make them in all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a 1911 34 35X 5.9er.
Pottery out there is, he's got an idea for Glock. He said, new for shot 2020, the Glock 17L slide on a 26 frame called the Glock 17 CFS compensating for something. You better watch out. They might be watching this and, they might try to do that on a 26 frame. Good God.
Just call it the Oprah.
The Oprah. I don't even want to get it. I don't even want to get it right now. Let's divert from that. All right. So Nice Right's going to be starting up here in a minute. I want to, we still got 41 watching right now. So I appreciate you guys hanging on. Night Strike's going to be starting hit or miss here in a minute. Go check that out on YouTube side at Night Strike 1. If you're on the Gun Channel side, it is, hit-or-miss is their channel on Gun Channel. So go check it out. If you guys haven't checked out Gun Channels yet, please do so. It is a great community of gun lovers, pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment people, just people that enjoy talking guns. It's the water cooler of the gun community. It is free to join. Come over there. We have a 24-hour live lobby chat that will talk about anything and everything. And if you have a question on anything gun-related, Gun Channels, there's going to be someone there that can answer just about anything you have. And if there isn't at that time, there will be someone in the near future. So there's always rotating people in and out depending on their schedules and all that. But go check out gunchannels.com. Let's run this through the room real quick. We'll start with Hottie. What's going on? Plug away.
No, not much going on with me. Still plugging away on the Instagrams. I got a God, I really got to kick it in gear and get some original content out there. But other than that, just doing the reposting thing. Trying to keep that going. Hit 500.
Two Hottie 206, correct?
Two Hottie 206, yep. Recently hit 500 subs a couple of weeks back.
Nice.
And hope the next 500 come, you know, a lot quicker.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Ellis, plug away, my man.
No, not a whole lot to plug. I have a show coming up Thursday and not really have anything planned for it as of yet, but we will see what happens.
Well, those sometimes those are the best shows. Just kind of go free for all on them, you know. Those are the fun ones.
Yeah, we've been doing that a lot lately, so we're going to keep it up.
There you go. Tack, I know you've got a bunch of stuff going on, getting ready for SHOT Show and Funker and all that. So what you got? You got to plug anything? You got Gun News Weekly Thursday night, but what all you got?
You just did it all, man. Thank you.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Unsub me if you hate me. Don't stick around anymore. That's my new motto for this year. But no, honestly, if you want to see behind the scenes at SHOT this year, make sure you're subscribed to me somewhere, either Facebook, YouTube or Instagram. The TAC365 blog thing is going to be much longer versions during the SHOT Show. So it'll be a lot of fun, and that's basically how I'll be wrapping up each day is putting out every morning I'll be putting out the blog as I do right now, this little thing I'm doing, just kind of share with the kids my journey this year. So thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate it.
You got it. Jelsma. You got a show Friday night?
Yeah, I got a show Friday, 9 Eastern. Hopefully the stuff going on with family doesn't interfere with that too much. If it does, well, I'll just have to shift the time. Wife's grandma passed away. So, but anyway, check us out on YouTube. And if you feel like supporting us, check us out on Patreon and all that other good stuff. And like always, do it outdoors.
Yo, I love that. That's great. G, what you got? You got Daily Gun Show here tonight, don't you?
Yeah, every night. Tech, I think that daily thing is pretty cool. Thanks for doing that. And then Ellis, thanks for talking about that AK earlier. I called that place, or I contacted that place. They're going to send me a couple. I'll send you one of them so you can give it out to your people. Get a free one.
Oh, that AK model thing, that looked pretty cool.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks, G, and I promise to keep your anonymity respected at SHOT Show.
Don't show his hand.
We've never met. He still doesn't trust me, but I'm throwing it out there now. Once again, trust me, there's plenty of people that I don't show. Marco, I might have to expose this year.
Oh, he exposed himself in Never Enough Ammo's show.
Oh, hey. We're not. never mind. G, besides Daily Gun Show, are y'all still working on your outdoor stuff? Is that something y'all are – when are you going to start releasing some of that stuff?
No, we're 3 weeks into that. Don't worry about that. We're going to be doing – I need money for SHOT. So if people want to see me do Second Amendment stuff, head over to my Indiegogo right now. It's at $100. And I've got maybe about $60 for SHOT right now. So anybody that wants to throw some scratch over there, that'll give me some time to work on that. Basically, I want to go through. I want to research a little bit the 34, the reasons for the 34, the 38, some of the ones we don't think about so often, the reasons for the 68, and build a place over there that digs into some of that history of some of those things so that when we have these conversations and we wonder as gun advocates why this was made, or when some anti-gunner tries to rely on their interpretation of why one of the federal laws exists, that we've got more resources out there. And then I'm going to be working with Clover on the other side of the Minuteman University, where we're going to put together basically get my live stuff back on the 25th or the 28th or something, right? Whenever the stupid ATF questioning thing ends, that's when I get my live stuff back.
Okay. Good timing, at least. I mean, you know.
No, it isn't, because I wanted a week before, so I can encourage everybody with 160,000 people to go out and comment on that thing. Hopefully everybody that's subbed to me is subbed to somebody else who makes a noise about it. Tack, I hope you're with me to try to get some of these people at SHOT Show to get together and remind people that as we're at SHOT Show, the comments on the bump stock but garbage are going to conclude. So first couple of days of shot there is going to be, hey, you've got a large audience looking at what to buy. Why don't you tell them to go write a letter to the ATF so that we never have one of these stupid 30-day letters again, or at least it'll take decades before they have the balls to put one back on the table.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I'm going to try to dig into some skills, how to debate, how to talk to people, how to use social media and stuff, the kind of stuff we do on Gun Channels University. I'm concerned that either Gun Channels is just not big enough or people are thinking there's some kind of connotation to it. So we're going to rebrand that kind of educational stuff to Minuteman University and make it as non-branded as possible. Just make it available for people that are doing Second Amendment content, for people that want to learn cameras, learn software, learn networking, learn making money, learn the social media platforms, and whatever else we can come up with is just little maybe half-an-hour videos that we explain, 10, 15-minute videos ideally, that explain a concept. And then the idea is that a couple weeks later or on some kind of a time frame, people who are interested in taking, you know, moving on some of those things, we can then get together in a live chat and discuss their results and go in, you know, with people like Clover and TAC, ideally, people have experienced a lot of the stuff we're going to be talking about, the nuts and bolts of how to create gun content, get some people with experience to answer some of the questions that come up as you're, you know, setting up a channel or setting up or enhancing your projects. And I think that we win by having a lot of people out there doing gun-related content. So easy to produce. Most people don't even think about it. As soon as they do think about it, it might get a little overwhelming. I want to end that hurdle if there is one there.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. I'm in.
Yeah, I like that.
Let me know how I can help.
Yeah, we just got to figure out a day that we can all kind of, you know, maybe a Thursday, every other Thursday. I don't know. Some day that we can all, you know, see that it's in our schedule. Or maybe sit down and shot if we all have a time and sit for a couple hours and do a bunch of 10-minute videos. Just quick. Bam, 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 bam. And then post them up.
There you go.
But NRA is coming, so people that are interested in all this SHOT Show stuff can, this is just about the right time to start preparing to get yourself to NRA show. Dallas in April 4th?
Hey, May.
May? I think
so. Yeah, I think it's May, first week in May. I think April is Wanamaker and May is NRA. I think it's that first week in May.
But it's still months off, so people can start
scheduling. Yeah. We're still a few months out, yeah. Yeah, you gotta start talking about Wanamaker when we get done with
Shot. Yeah, Wanamaker's April 7, thanks.
Yeah. All right, Grim, when do you go back to school?
Oh, tomorrow.
All right.
We'll have all 800 in there running around tomorrow.
Oh, God
bless you. But, yeah, thanks for the invite. And everybody, stay active. I mean, do the best you can, you know. Support the creators. Start creating content. You know, I'm glad to see how many we've had in the last couple months here, just starting quick videos or whatever. I mean, just be active. You know, we got to be loud. That's as much as I can say right now. You know, we have to keep it up. You know, can't become complacent right now. So,
yeah, I agree.
Just do it loud. Be the squeaky wheel.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, G just put his link out there, so go check that out. Really cool stuff that he's going to try to do with educating the history of all the 2A bills and all that stuff, so the law. So go check out the Indiegogo. Clover, what's going on, my man?
I don't know. I want to shout out, Gizzard Gary and Tardot357. I think it's important that we try to help some of these new guys build up at least to that 100 mark. And I think both of those need that. So, get out there, support those guys if you can. They've got some good stuff. On my end, a couple things, the, CloverTac Charm stickers are ready to go. Angelina with Alan Anchor did an awesome job on those. You can pick them up over at, clovertac.com/stickers if you want those. And, on the issue with notifications, just kind of wanted to let everybody know, I did hear back from YouTube today. They've been working on it. It's a massive problem. We all know this. So I don't know. Hopefully they'll get that mess, fixed, because it's really a pain, especially when you do an impromptu live stream and then 18 minutes after you end said impromptu live stream, everybody gets the notification. So, that's a no help to everybody. So, But if what I'm going to say is, if you've got a creator out there that you follow, try to stay up to speed on their schedule, because that's really the only way that, you know, you're going to guarantee that you don't miss the show. So
yeah,
if creators start putting their stuff on the front page of Gun Channels, then people can just hang out on Gun Channels when somebody says who's live. Everybody will know, and you can.
That's right. That's right. Well,
that's true too.
Not in the text chat, which is only readable by people who are logged in and know about the text chat, but on the main page, the main news feed.
Yep.
Your says probably his last chat, so take care, everyone. Shoot straight and stay safe. I don't understand what last chat tonight or what's going on, man.
Yeah, he goes out to go to work or whatever.
He leaving? Yeah. Oh, he's ready to leave? Yeah. Oh, man, I didn't realize he was leaving.
He leaves for a few months, yeah.
I didn't realize this. This is the. He has no internet connection for how long? Like 3 or 4 months or something like that?
Yeah.
Maybe longer?
Who's that?
No, he set up to eight. Isn't it? He does is like 6 to 8 months or something. Eight months, something like that.
He's in the middle of the ocean for 6 to 8 months. And he has zero connection to the world. So he's going to be out there with no internet. So. We won't see it till April. Okay, he's coming back in April, so that's not as bad as month. So, well, you're be safe. I didn't think you were leaving until April, but be safe out there. We'll hopefully still be here when you get back, and but yeah. Oh, then he's home for a month and then gone until October. Well, hell, be safe out there. You're and we'll be thinking about you, brother. We'll see you. I just want to do a quick couple things. I want to say thank you to everyone. I hit the 700 subscriber mark today, which is pretty cool. Heading towards 1,000, which would be the next milestone. Thanks everyone that's subscribing and watching and commenting and liking and sharing the content. We did start up a firearm content creator, page on Facebook for people that are looking. It's going to be kind of what Gun Channels is, but we're just going to do it in a place where Facebook easy for sharing on Facebook for you guys that are content creators or looking to get into content. We'd love to have you join. It's called Firearm Content Creators. It's a real simple group over on Facebook. A bunch of people have been talking about doing some of that so they can easily share from one group a bunch of different stuff to help the content creators get their stuff out on Facebook side. A lot of the times when you share directly from YouTube to Facebook, it doesn't necessarily get pushed to the top. But if you share it from within Facebook, apparently it helps. So if you can self promote, and it doesn't have to be YouTube. It can be Instagram. It could be any kind of social media, blog or anything. Come on over there, post it in there, and you want to start collaborating or get some ideas, especially if you're thinking about starting to turn the camera on or whatever, come over there and join us, and we will post to the Facebook side. It's just kind of a easier way to get Facebook to work in our favor a little bit. I want to thank everybody for coming in. We're still at 26. Everyone's kind of heading over there to Night Strike. We were at 50-something at one point, so thank you guys for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. Thanks to everyone on the Gun Channel side. Go check out gunchannels.com. It's a great, great community. We talked about that already. We're going to probably try to have in the next week or so another SHOT Show roundtable. So if you guys are interested, I'll be sending an email out, and we can start. We're getting close, guys. We're getting really close. I'm looking forward to it, and I know that Tack and G and myself and Clover are going to be leaving here in a week and a half or so, 2 weeks. Not 2 weeks, it'll be already started by then. So a week and a half or so, we'll be heading out. But thanks, everybody, for joining us. I really do appreciate it. Thank you again for all the subscriptions. Thank you to all my patrons. I really do appreciate you guys. And we will see you next Tuesday for Tactical Tuesday number 25. But thanks again, guys, and Semper Fi.